Today's message, as I said 3 weeks ago, is a template. It's a survival guide to 2022. But how do we get to where we are today? How did we get to the problems that we're all facing today? We all know we have problems. We disagree with many, many people on how we should solve these problems. But it starts with the same concept I said of reading the Word. You must start. The scripture starts it for you. He said, if we come to God, first we must believe this. This isn't in my notes, but I'm taking the ride as I'm hearing it. We must first believe that God does exist, that God is. If you start everything out of the box from you believe that God is. God's not a new trick to try. God is not something on audition to you that if it doesn't work the way you think it ought to work, you find something else. When you come to God, the scripture says, you first must believe that God is. You must then believe God is the source, where it says, that he is, not you, not doing your own works, but he is the rewarder of those who will diligently focus on him, seek him, listen to him, spend time with him. We try to change things in our world by doing topical things without changing the heart inside of us. And we see people right now in this world today, when maybe they have substance abuse and they've been hooked on certain things, well, they will try to do all the things to not do it. But what happens is when that lets up, many times people go back to those things. Why? Because it was a topical thing that wore off after time passed, instead of an inside change, and it was an inside work in God right now. The word is clear. I believe God. I believe his word. But I don't know about you. We have a problem. I've told you for 3 weeks in a row what we've heard for so many years in our house. We see something on TV. We read something on the news. Somebody does something kind of crazy. It's out left field. Linda's the first one to say it. She says, I can't believe, boom, boom, boom. I can't believe, blah, 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 blah. How many of you like that? I can't believe. How many of you ever say that? She said it today. I hear it over and over. I can't believe. Well, we're all that way when we look at it. We have adapted that now to this. How can they really believe this? How can they really believe this? How did we get here? Well, we got to where we are in our world today, and we get to where we are in our lives based on what we deem to be important in our lives, of what we believe. That means, what did we practice? You know, you can say everybody loves God. Everybody loves God. You know, I saw a t-shirt the other day said, everybody's a Christian until it gets biblical. You know what I mean? And it's one of those things. And we love God, but it hasn't been important. It's been important, but it's been another plug-in. It's been another variable in the whole of our life there, in the puzzle of our life, in the little structure of our life, the cubby hole of our life there. And we put our little God thing there. But it has to be by what we practice. Now, let me get practical with you. Those of you who've raised little children, those of you who have little children around you, and you got little curtain climbers everywhere, what do you have to do when they first show up to the house? You have to kid-proof the house. You've got a kid proof the house, don't you? Because those little suckers will open everything. You got to stick stuff in the socket, or they'll put a fork in that thing and look like the cartoon where you can see all of their skeleton there when they're hanging there. You've got to get the kit, the house kit. You can't open, you put those things under the cabinet so they can't get under and get the Clorox down there. And now we've got to tell millennial young people in their 20s and their early 20s, don't eat those colorful Tide Pods either. You know, people say, well, you can't show things on crazy. Let me tell you something, man. I grew up on a time where a coyote would tie a rocket to his back and he had roller skates on his feet. And I laughed and I loved it. And I wasn't stupid enough to think that I could put roller skates on my feet and a bomb on my. I wasn't that crazy. But now we've got to have all these warnings. Do you know now that when you open your car, there's a sticker on the battery? Do not drink the battery acid. Now, when you see crazy signs like that, here's the first thing you know. Why does it have to be there in the first place? Because some dummy said, I wonder what this would taste like. You know, the famous last words, hey, watch this. You know, I mean, that's why we believe crazy stuff and we wonder why crazy things happen to us. We got to kid-proof our house. Why? To avoid accidents. But more important, watch, I'm transitioning right now. More important in our daily life and in our daily walk, we must foolproof our lives. Now, how do we do that? I got ahead of myself a minute ago. It is an inward exercise, which then produces the outward exercise. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And out of what we think in our heart is what we do and what we become and what we say. We've been talking about some words this week, last couple of weeks right now. The first two words that we've really been working on, the first two words were discernment and discretion. Discernment and discretion. The other two words was the war of the F words, faithfulness versus foolishness. Let's go back. Let's stay on discernment right now. Discernment and discretion. We're living our life right now. Put those back up. We're living in our life right now that we must have discernment. And people don't have discernment. Church people don't have discernment. If it says God and it's kind of happy and there's flowers in it, oh, it's wonderful. But the word says you can try the spirits. You can try the spirits. We must work on our discernment. We must work then on our discretion. That is our path that we choose. The decisions that we make, the things that we deem important, not to ourselves, but we deem that are important from starting point one, that I believe there's a God, he does exist, he is the rewarder, he is the guy that tallies up the score when it's all over, he is the rewarder, so I must walk in discernment. I must, you know, there are times I walk in, I hear, and something sounds good, but I'm hearing, you know, danger, Will Robinson. I mean, I'm hearing things, don't go there, don't do that. And we must learn discernment and learn to recognize discernment. Current counseling would say right now that if you had certain feelings, and some people would call them guilt feelings, well, God puts a conscience inside of us like roadblocks in a parking lot that you drive over. And if we ignore them repetitively, they get of no effect later on, and they actually damage us from hitting them so hard. And so we must walk in discernment. We must walk then in discretion. That decides our path and our journey. The next thing is the battle against faithfulness and foolishness. That's what this whole message is all about. Are we going to be faithful? Or are we going to be foolish? Foolish is real big in the world today. Foolish is big in the world today. But if you stand up and talk faithfulness, you can talk faithfulness to any other club, any other mindset, any other belief, any other religion. But if you stand up and speak of faithfulness within the parameters of the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the word of God, you're considered a crazy person. You're actually called a hater. That's hate speech that you're giving right now. That's going on right now. Man, I don't have time to tell you what I've been reading lately about that. And you get foolish. You get people in all levels, and they get on TV and commentators and political leaders. They say things, and if you wrote it down, it's a word salad. It makes no sense there. But they go, yes, right, that's true. It sounds good. I heard this the other day about, do you know that a very high-ranking political leader said this just this week? She said, to support a woman's ability, not her government, but her, to make that decision does not require anyone to abandon their faith or their beliefs. That was talking about abortion. Does not require anyone to abandon their faith or their beliefs. That's nuts. I think it was Will Rogers that said one day, we squint at the sun because it is bright. We squint at people because they're not. You ever heard somebody say something? You go, what? You know, you like that. We squint at the sun because it's bright. We squint at people because they are not. How many of you are there right now? How many of you are there right now? That's my, how could they even believe that? Here's what we've learned in the last few weeks. Fools will always walk in arrogance and presumption. I mean, and that's part of being a fool. They don't know they're embarrassing themselves. They don't know that they're walking away. Fools, in the concepts when you look at a fool's life, the concept of self-deception is always there. There has been a point where the fool has been deceived, therefore deceiving himself. And even after hearing the truth, a fool will go the other way. Now, let me just say this to you right now. Don't you as church people get too arrogant. Don't get too cute. Don't get prideful that I am not like they are. I'm not like they are. You know, and we can get so arrogant against someone, and you're not going to win them anyway with that kind of attitude. But you always must remember that you and I are very capable at any one blink of a moment to enter fooldom. Because what happens? The thing that is important is not important. You should have known this. We've known this since 1972. The main ingredient told us. Okay, so your heart is broken. You sit around moping, crying and crying. You say you're even thinking about dying. Well, before you do anything rash, dig this. Everybody plays the fool sometime. There's no exception to the rule. It may be factual, it may be cruel, and I ain't lying. Everybody plays the fool. Your love has left you. How can you help it when the music starts to play and your ability to reason has been swept away? Oh, 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 heaven on earth is all you see. You're out of touch with reality. And now you cry. But when you do, the next time around, someone cries for you. Everybody plays the fool sometimes. We were warned. That could be in Proverbs. Motown version. Everybody plays the fool sometimes. Now let me just say something to you. Here's the trick. When you're in fooldom, don't build your house there. Don't stop there. Don't stop there. First, we got to foolproof ourselves every day. The starting point was the word here that fools corrupt everything they touch. And now the template words today from Solomon that validates that statement right there. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1. As dead flies, and I love this the picture language. As dead flies cause a bottle of perfume to stink, so a little foolishness spoils great wisdom and honor. Doesn't take a whole lot to spoil something. We're at a point in our house right now where we're watching something very, very carefully. It's in our driveway right now. Something very carefully. Linda came home yesterday, the horn honked, that means get out, we've got to unload something. So I dutifully ran out there and she had the top popped and she had the hatchback open there like that. And all of a sudden she screamed and she yelped. And I said, what? And it scared me for a minute. And she said, a frog. I said, and she said, he jumped up and then went over into the back seat and he's gotten bigger as we've told the story. And she said, he's in there. And I said, well, we'll look. And so we'll find the frog. I said, all right, I'm going here, Froggy, you know, and I'm trying to find it. And she says, we got to get this out. I said, yeah, we do. Yes, she says, it's going to die and it's going to smell up there. I said, no, we're going to find the frog there. And so we opened all four doors and we dug under the seats and I looked under the seats. I went in the console there. I even looked in the rear view thing. I mean, you know, what do you call the visors there? I looked in there. I opened up the thing just in case he had unlocked it and jumped in there. And we looked up under the steering wheel and we looked and she said, and the door was already open. So we're wondering maybe when he went boom, boom, and he jumped out there that he did that. And she said, and he was huge. She said, and we kept looking. How long did we look for the frog? 15 minutes? Yeah, I left all four doors open there, you know, and if there was a way that he could get out. And no frog, even today. We're believing. Now we'll know for sure. We'll tell you next week. We'll know for sure what happened. So me wanting to have a little fun. How many know there's times you don't have fun? But this is the discretion thing that I lost. I didn't have right there. And I said, just think, you're going to be driving down the road on Monday. And all of a sudden, I said, all of a sudden, and she was in no mood for teasing. You know what I mean? And so I said, it's going to be all of a sudden, you're going to be driving down the road and you're going, hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my ragtime. And she didn't laugh. She did. I thought I was hilarious, you know. Solomon said, as a dead fly can cause a car to smell, so a little foolishness spoils great wisdom and honor. Now, a wise person, what are we trying to be? Wise. A wise person will choose the right road. A fool takes the wrong road. Now, I'm going to read a next scripture that sounds very judgmental. This scripture will not fly in the world today. It's a very judgmental word right now. Watch this. You can identify fools just by the way they walk down the street. Wow. Wow. It's easy to see. It's easy to see. But nowhere does it tell you to get arrogant about it and say, look at that stupid person, and I'm wonderful, and I've already got my heaven ticket. Because everybody plays the fool sometimes. You can see a lot. Yogi Berra said it this way. You can see a lot by looking. It's there. Fools are easy to spot. And let me tell you something else about a fool. Fools are easy to fool. Because once they've entered that fool protocol, or the fool portal, as we talk about in sports today. Why? Because their hearts and their minds are already receptive to another direction, another way, another answer. Do you understand what I kind of said right there? A fool is very easy to fool once they've already started, because they're at a point where their judgment is not good. Remember what I read 2 weeks ago when Peter was writing the word about church leaders, not only just natural leaders, but church leaders and Christians that have heard the word, taken the word, and have ignored the word in their life and have gone astray. And he spoke against, though, the evil leaders of that day that were leading them. And remember that statement I used a few weeks ago? It said they have a heart trained in covetous practice. You got that? Now, what did I learn from that statement? We spent a while on that, I think. It might have been last week. That tells me already that your heart can be trained. Your heart can be trained. Your heart can be trained. Thank God for it. And what we're doing right now is a heart training process every week. Every day when we're in the Word, we're training our heart. Troy, when you open the Word in the morning, you're looking at it, you're saying, how can this help my heart today? Not can it help me, not can it help anything, but first from the it's an inside, because I wrote in the note I sent out yesterday, it's an inward change that affects the outward. And when you read that, do that in the morning. Chuck, when you read it in the morning, it starts, what are you saying to my heart here? Stan, what are you saying to my heart here right now? It's a heart process. Here's some practical things dealing with fooldom all around you. Verse 4, if your boss is angry with you, don't quit. That's verse 4. Don't quit, because a quiet spirit can overcome even great mistakes. Don't some of us walk around, we're just one trigger snap away from just tearing the place down. We're just one move away from burning the place down. But you know what? That is expected of somebody. But when you stop and you're asking God to lead me, don't let me act like a fool right now. Let me just give you, I'm just going to read through this real quick, because it just shows you what he's trying to say. There's another evil that I've seen under the sun. Solomon's talking about that. He said, I'm talking about the kings and rulers who make a grave mistake when they give great authority to foolish people. Foolish people. You got foolish people in authority in our world, in business today, in politics, even in church circles, in education circles right now. You've given authority to foolish people right there. People of low positions, you've given low positions to people of proven worth. That's what you're seeing right now. How many, I bet each one of you have a word of wisdom that you could share where you work, but there's somebody else in another situation there. So you just be cool. You just be cool. You just ask for discretion. You ask for discernment. You ask, Lord, how do you want me to move in this situation? And it will work. It says they've given low positions to people of proven worth. That is an intentional lack of honor. And we see that in the world today, that there are people that have wisdom, that have a track record in their life, in life, in business, and in the word. And many times they are not being honored because of that. He said, I've seen, and he's showing the parallels, I've seen servants riding around on horseback like they're princes. And I've seen princes walking around like servants. That's what happens when fools are in charge. Because fools make the wrong decisions. Fools take the wrong road. Fools, and it's easy to see when it happens. When you dig a well, you might fall in. When you demolish an old well, you could be bitten by a snake. When you work in a quarry, stones may fall and crush you. When you chop wood, there is a danger of each stroke with your axe. And then he goes a little bit deeper here. He says, using a dull axe requires great strength. So sharpen the blade. Now stop right here. We've been talking about growing in discernment and discretion. A dull axe requires a lot of strength. So sharpen the blade. That's the value of what? Wisdom. It helps you to succeed. You've heard the old story of the guy that was out cutting the trees, and he had his axe, and he kept hitting it over and over and over, and it was killing, and the work was killing him. And his friend came by, and he felt. He said, "Your axe is dull. Your axe is dull." He said, "Yeah, that's all right." He said, "We got." He said, "If you would stop long enough, spend the time, spend the investment, get your axe sharpened." He said, "And you'll do better." He said, "I can't stop. I got to cut trees now." Foolish. He didn't take the time. In your heart, what are you doing right? We all grow dull at times. Our hearing grows dull. Our spirits grow dull. Our energy grows dull. Our faith grows dull if we don't work at it. And what happens in those things that are good, it is those other things that are the weak things that get louder. And I've been showing you this for 6 weeks right now. And when that gets louder, you get dull and you're not effective anymore. Verse number 12 says, "Wise words bring approval, but fools are destroyed by their own words." Who are these people? 13. "Fools base their thoughts on foolish assumptions." All right, the starting point. Got it? A fool is here. So their conclusion will be wicked madness. A fool says what? There is no God. A fool doesn't listen to wise words. A fool does not acknowledge that. A fool intentionally has to walk away from these words. A fool has to ignore the growth of getting deep into the word. A fool has to do that intentionally. So fools base their thoughts on foolish assumptions. So somebody said, "Well, we all got to be on the same road. We got to have this. We're running this." No, we're not. Everybody's race is different. Some of you have been raised in Leave It to Beaver homes, you know, and it looks like that. Others of you have been raised by a single parent, by a mom, or by a dad, or by a grandmother. Others of you have had times where you felt even totally alone there. Some of you have gone through great things, and everybody's experience is a little bit different. And so the idea of the word is that we all run to the word as our starting point. It can't be our carnal or our fleshly or our life experience there. We must, if we're going to find you know, when you start building a building, before they build anything, they find that one spot, they drive that one stake right there. And from that little stake in the ground, things go out and things go up and things are built. Same thing with your life. Same thing. Going, we must, what are you trying to do? A philosophy? No. To the word, to the Lord Jesus. First, he must believe that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There's a lot of this not in these notes, but I'm having fun. So let me turn it around. You got that? I've always said, if you want to grow in your study, take a scripture and flip it around. Okay? Just that, only for your personal edification. I'm not saying it's from the mountain. Don't go away saying I'm adding to the word. No, I'm talking about for your personal edification. The fool base their thoughts on foolish assumptions, so their conclusion will be wicked madness. Let's hypothetically flip that around, and let me read it the way I wrote it. The godly base their thoughts on the word of the Lord, so their conclusions will be joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's as good as the message. That's a good. Do you want to grow a little when you read? So, it's all negative. Okay, read that thing, but turn it around. And what does it say for those who will walk? Now, you always know the fool. The fool just blabbers on forever. You ever get in a situation and you listen to somebody and they're just yapping. They're not saying anything, but they're just yapping. And they just and you go, "Oh, Lord, this is driving me crazy." Solomon understood. Verse 14. They chatter on and on. Who? The fools that have based their lives in wrong conclusions. They chatter on and on. No one really knows what's going to happen. No one can predict the future. You see the dishonesty of people saying they can predict the future. The little lady with the white hair that's in charge of all the money and the Fed and all that stuff. She's saying three different things in three different months. Then she gets a lot of money to say different things and totally unaccountable and can run away with it and can get away with it. It's not going to happen. She'll say three different things because nobody knows, and she's not basing. She's starting from starting point of fooldom. But sometimes people just don't know any better, and they think they're doing something, and they're sounding loving. People don't even think. You can't predict the future. The old song says, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. I love to hear these things that are telling me about the weather right now. And it is about control. It's about money. It's about submission. It's the concept that they will take, especially you guys, and the land that has given the gospel to more people in the world than any land ever, the imperfect, flawed land that has given the gospel more to anybody else there. And we're going to be all equal here, there. And we're going to have to learn how to do these things. So they're going to make your life uncomfortable right now. They're going to tell you what the weather's going to be in 30 years. They can't tell you if it's really going to rain on Tuesday. We said almost 1 year ago, and we didn't know until 24 hours before that storm came. And that's why so many of y'all were stuck in your houses for those days there, because they didn't know. But they're going to tell you in 30 years. You got a guy that ran for a major office about 20 years ago and said by 2015, New York City's going to be underwater. And if a preacher would have said that today, they'd have tarred him and feathered him and run him out of town, and 60 Minutes would have exposed him as a heretic. But this silly person flies around privately and has a fleet and an army, but yet is going to tell you that fools. And you know, fools, they always over-evaluate what they do and how important things are. 15, Solomon said, fools are exhausted by a little work. They can't even find their way home. And what sorrow for the land ruled by a servant of the land who leaders feast in the morning. In other words, an irresponsible leader that is out having his parties and live telling us that the seas are going to blow up, but yet we will build houses and we'll buy them on the ocean front there, but even though it's going to be covered in 5 and 10 years from now, doesn't make sense. But happy is the land whose king is a noble leader and whose leaders feast at the proper time, order, to gain strength for their work. I like this. And not to get drunk. But I'll tell you, working with fools, it'll make you want to get drunk sometimes. Want it right now? I've seen Christians dangle Noah over, you know, talk about Noah, how awful Noah was. You know, what about that Noah? Noah was drunk, and Noah got off the boat, and he was drunk, and he was naked. That's, by the way, drunk and naked are a bad combination right there. One's bad enough, but when you get them together, you got a problem there right now. And they make fun of Noah, you know, and they say, poor Noah. Noah was drunk, man. He was naked, and he was there. And I'm thinking, I don't know what I'd have done if I'd been on that boat that long with those animals. There's a lot of stuff you got to get rid of that's stocked up in the corner of the ship down there. I just don't know. Maybe when I got out, I don't know. I've never had that temptation. I've never had that problem, but I've never been in that situation before. Please don't think less of me. Fools will make you feel that way. I've been telling you this rundown, these four statements. A fool has faith in himself. A fool ignores instruction. A fool practices evil. A fool lives by impulse. I'm going to go back one day. I said it off the top of my head 2 weeks ago, and that impulse thing really jumped at me when in the concept. And I know we covered it briefly when we were in Genesis, but the Jacob and Esau situation of selling out his birthright on the impulse that he thought he was so hungry he was going to die. How many of you ever said, I'm so hungry, I'm going to die? Raise your hand if you've ever said that. I'm so hungry, I'm going to die. No, you weren't. No, you weren't. I said that one time, and the voice came back and said, no, there's still a lot to live on there, even if you don't get anything for a while. She didn't say that. That's poetic license I'm taking. But how does it get to that? Galatians 6 tells us, if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Now, what am I telling you here? Put your antennas up. I haven't gotten off message in 3 weeks. This is how to avoid fooldom. Anyone who thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Paul wrote it different in 1 Corinthians. He said, let no man deceive himself. And I put in parentheses, because of his own foolishness. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. You're only fooling yourself. The story is ageless. The pattern is the same. But so are the results. So are the results. The results of the Lord Jesus Christ. One day I'm going to come back to the story of the prodigal. Things were well. If he'd have stayed grounded where God had put him. But he started entertaining other things. Adam and Eve were grounded, but started entertaining other things. Jacob and Esau were grounded where God wanted them to be until they started listening to other things. David peeking over the wall was already grounded as the leader, but he wanted other things. The prodigal was the same way. Here's your checklist for you guys. It's from one of my favorite books because of the practicality of it. Guys, you want to read a practical book and live with it a while? Read James. James chapter 3 says, this wisdom, what are we talking about? Wisdom. This wisdom does not descend from above. He's talking about evil wisdom. He's talking about the propensity of the fools that speak to people and lead people and hurt people and try to control people. This wisdom does not descend from above, but it is earthly, it is sensual, it's demonic. Is that 2022? Is that 2022? I think so. Why is that? For where envy and self-seeking exist. Stop right there. I told you when we did the commandments, I really felt, and I never heard this anywhere else, I felt the first commandment and then the concept of coveting in the last one, I think was the strongest bookends for that. Because we're living in a world right now where there is a spirit of covetousness. I want what they have. I want what they have. I don't care if somebody else pays for it. I want something. And that's the way we want something. That's the way the world is right now. Go around the world. Look in the European countries. Look in those other countries around the world there. There's a spirit of if I want it, I take it, I steal it. I saw a video in our city from just this week from an Uber driver the other night that sat in an area with a camera and went around town and saw 28 broken windows in cars just this week. 28 this week. That's that spirit. I want that, and I don't care. I have no restraint. Because here's why you got what you have today. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom which is from above, how do you avoid fooldom? The wisdom from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle. It's willing to yield. I'd like to just see that in the grocery line. I'd like to see that. Have you ever seen people and y'all are going the same way and y'all just, I'm thinking, go ahead, my Lord, you know, trying to get into a door and there's a run there. You get in a line somewhere and things are going on there. Just relax, full of mercy, full of good fruits. Now, what does that mean? That means what is produced in you. Remember it says you can tell a fool by the way he walks. Let them see a righteous person, a wisdom person by the way they walk. I'm doing a lot better than your faces are showing. Without being partial and without hypocrisy. So there is a wisdom. There is a wisdom when you get foolproof. There is a wisdom. It's God's wisdom. The other wisdom is from below and beneath. Now I'm going to give you a New Orleans word. I'm landing the plane. I'm giving you a lanyap word. Lanyap, something extra. Something extra. Fooldom does not just, here's my extra word. Fooldom does not just affect you. Do you know that? Fooldom has a life that goes on. There is a legacy to fooldom. Wait, stop. What do you mean? You're not just affecting yourself if you base your life against what God's word says. Do you remember the story back in 1 Samuel 25? And Abigail, remember Abigail, how sweet she was? In fact, her name meant intelligent, brave, and humble. And for the rest of eternity, we're going to know the name of her husband. His name was her husband's name was Nabal. What does Nabal mean? Fool. Fool. It said, the scripture even says that I know that Nabal is a wicked, ill-tempered man. He's arrogant. He's verbose. He don't pay any attention to him. And the scripture actually says he is a fool, as his name suggests. So there's a legacy there, especially men. In your houses and kids, with your life and your business. Proverbs 3 says it this way, the wise will inherit glory, but shame will be the legacy of fools. There's a legacy to fool. That means it lives on. The story, even when the fool has breathed his last breath, the fool story has gone on. The question is, what will we inherit? What will be our legacy? Our kids, their kids, will be affected by our foolishness. It depends on our willingness to listen to God. And as we leave today, as you walk, as you live, and as you love today, I want to encourage you, sow the legacy of the Word of God. And the thing you need to stop from square one is stop looking for the back door. Stop looking for an alternative. Do it the Word way. Paul said it this way, see then that you walk circumspectly. That means paying attention. That means, and not as fools, but as wise people. I heard a wonderful message this week. In fact, Lynn sent it to me. Tim Sheets was talking and saying a lot of things that I've been saying about culture and what and preparing people for where we are today. And he said, be encouraged. The church is discouraged on many, many levels. And he said, when I was praying, he said, the word of the Lord came to me. And here's what he said. He said, my church is not finished. And that's y'all. Y'all aren't finished either. So I closed this. 3 weeks ago, I promised a template. I promised a survival guide. I've given you a list of hows. How do we survive? How do we grow? How do we live? How do we work? How do we rest? How do we play? How do we keep strong? How do we love? What's the answer to all of the hows that we're dealing with right now? Don't believe what a fool believes.